We're talking now about the Federal Minister for Health, Susan Lee, who's come under fire recently, very recently, for numerous trips she made to the Gold Coast, where, at her own admission, she made travel claims on public money that failed to meet ministerial standards. This morning, she announced that she would stand aside as health minister while the issue is investigated by the Department of Finance. Dr. Peter Chen is a senior lecturer at the University of Sydney and joins me now. Thank you for joining me, Peter.
Oh, good morning.
So, Peter, now that Minister Susan Lee has stood down, what's going to happen to the health minister position?
Yeah, so temporarily, Arthur Sinodinos has stepped into that role and is going to take over responsibility for health, age services and sport while the case is investigated. And I guess depending on the outcome of that investigation, either the minister will return to her duties or there'll be a reshuffle if she does not return to that position.
And this sort of travel entitlement issue is nothing new, reminding people, no doubt, of Bronwyn Bishop's helicopter ride, which, you know, claimed about $4,000 on taxpayer money as well. What do these kind of issues bring to light about our politicians and their entitlements as an ongoing issue?
Yeah, I guess they bring to light a couple of factors. The first is that generally the public are extremely intolerant of the use of taxpayer money for travel and other sorts of entitlements by politicians. And yet probably they don't appreciate just how much travel and time away from home politicians engage in. I think it is a little bit of a kind of difficult position many politicians find themselves in, and that's why often they're actually very loath to talk about the extensive amount of travel they do engage in. As we see here, we might really be talking about a kind of a malfeasance in the order of a few hundred dollars, not even, you know, the amount of thousands of dollars that have kind of led the minister into trouble in this case.
And is this then make it a question of public attitudes and a lack of public understanding of the position of ministers, or is it something else?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think obviously, as the kind of ministerial ethics guidelines sort of tell ministers, they need to use kind of due economy, and there's kind of obviously an awareness amongst the political class that the public are extremely intolerant of this sort of travel. But I think also with regards to members of the public, they don't appreciate just how much time, particularly senior politicians, spend on the road as a matter of their kind of work life. And how then it becomes kind of difficult, I think, to separate out the private from the professional in many ways. The question, I guess, for the minister is the extent to which the investigation that the Department of Finance is going to engage in might find other erroneous claims, and certainly the ABC is sort of reporting about successive travel to the Gold Coast at New Year's Eve, where it is unlikely that any significant political work would be being done. But I guess one of the difficulties that the political class has is that it is quite difficult to separate the private work of the politician being politicians, which is the work of parties and glad-handing people and meeting people in the kind of political space, with the public administrative work that they engage in as elected representatives. And then you add on top of that the desire of some people to also engage in private personal activities. And one of the areas that I think we see come up most commonly is an intolerance by the public to accept the spousal travel arrangements, which are kind of unique, I think, to the political class. Certainly in most people's professional life, they wouldn't get spousal travel arrangements. And I think partly that's a story of how little politicians who have senior ministerial portfolios are paid compared to their private sector counterparts.
So with this public outrage about travel expenses, it also taps into a sort of larger public feeling of politicians being out of touch and therefore, you know, having these entitlements being used because they don't really understand, you know, or don't really sympathize with the idea of like taxpayers' money and all that sort of stuff. Is it a larger perception problem or a larger problem with the actions of ministers or a governmental thing, or how can we look at this?
Oh, I think it's got elements of all those, and certainly, you know, politicians are held in extremely low regard, so their actions are not given a great deal of credit by the public, so they're just not particularly liked people as a class of people, though most people tell you that when they actually meet an individual politician, they find them extremely affable and pleasant people to be around, but as a kind of general class of people, they dislike them. And then I think broader kind of political rhetoric that we've seen for many decades that has been that people always misusing public monies, I think has seeped back into the political class's perception as well. I just think there's a general lack of appreciation that these people work, the sort of hours that makes it, I think, difficult to separate the private from the professional to some extent. Their work often engages their family in a way that other people's work doesn't, and that obviously then leads to travelling with members of your family.
Peter, how could this perception be addressed? How might this again, lack of understanding of politicians' situations be brought to the wider public, or can it be?
Well, I don't know if it really can be, right? So, I mean, for decades now, the political class has been aware that they've been under increased scrutiny and that these sort of relatively minor malfeasances gain a lot of media attention. So this story, for example, I noted this morning when I got up and read the paper that the minister had moved to that status in media reporting of being embattled. And as soon as she started being described as embattled, I knew that, there was a kind of feeding frenzy in the offing there. And then I wasn't too surprised that she stood aside for a while to let that kind of blow over. So I think the political class has been aware for many years that they might engage in incredible failures professionally and get away with them, and the Centrelink fiasco is ongoing. It is a complete disaster, and yet we're kind of talking about some, nickels and dimes stuff that's going on around a minister's private travel relationships. So they can, they can have these kind of, massive failures of public administration, but be held to extreme scrutiny over matters of relatively small account. So their strategy, I think, for many years has been security through obscurity. And I think one of the things that's blowing back on the minister in this case is, by not being very upfront about what was going on, it looks like she's engaged in some sort of concealment of something and makes it sound worse. There have been suggestions, for changes to the system, and, obviously one suggestion is that all ministers' diaries should be publicly available. And you'll remember that towards the end of last year, there was a dispute between the Shadow Attorney General and the Attorney General for access to the Attorney General's diary, and that went all the way to the High Court. Whereas Freedom of Information campaigners have argued for a long time that if all ministers just made their diaries open, then this would resolve a lot of these kind of issues. But it certainly would mean that that ministers might be less likely to do some of these little fiddles of their expenses because it would be easily identified by the scrutiny of the media and the public.